All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a jungle legend. He covers the NBA for SI.com. He's the host of the Open Floor podcast. Ben Golver is my guest. Ben, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm really good, Jim. How's it going?
Good, good. Ben, great to talk to you. Let me start with Utah. They're up 3-1 on OKC right now. What do you make of Russell Westbrook, Ben, targeting Ricky Rubio before Game 4 and then declaring that it's not about me and him after losing Game 4?
Yeah, it was a pretty quick 180 from Russell, wasn't it? You know, I imagined when he made it all about him and Rubio that the Jazz locker room and their coaching staff was just like sitting, in a room giggling, happy that that's how he wanted to make it, because that's been Utah's strength here, not only in this year's playoffs, but in last year's playoffs too. I mean, remember, they knocked out that Clippers team that had a lot of star power, had a lot of free agency questions, didn't really have their chemistry together. And Utah just outlasted that group last year. And it's been deja vu in this series, too. I mean, same thing. You know, the Paul George free agency questions, all these star powers. And then yet you have Utah is just very disciplined, clinical defense. They try to take care of the ball on offense. Donovan Mitchell has really stepped up as a rookie. And, you know, someone like Westbrook is trying to freelance and go one-on-one, and that's just not going to work against them. It's a tough matchup for him. You know, Rudy Gobert is, you know, easily the best interior defensive player in the NBA, and Westbrook does so much of his damage, you know, going to the basket or setting up, you know, second chance opportunities for guys like Steven Adams, and all that stuff pretty much has been wiped out by Gobert. Utah's been able to play big too, which really helps them control. And that's really, you know, made life difficult for Oklahoma City. Hasn't really gotten anything from Carmelo Anthony. You know, Paul George has played pretty well, but, you know, it hasn't been totally smooth for him either. So you look at the series big picture, and Westbrook sort of about face there in terms of, you know, his matchup with Rubio is really indicative of the entire thing. You know, Utah has kept its cool, kept its calm, played their game, and that's why they're up 3-1.
Ben Golver joining us, and Donovan Mitchell has been unbelievable as a rookie in his first four playoff games. Let me get you a jump ahead to Philadelphia, Miami. You had been hyping this series even before it started, and this is one thing that is living up to the hype, complete with the trash talk and the mask stomping. What has been your biggest takeaway from this series so far?
It's just that Philadelphia keeps raising the bar. I mean, when you have a young team get to the postseason, they always have to kind of check these boxes, right? So, like, the first thing was, can they win in front of their home crowd when everyone's super amped up in game one? And are the emotions going to get the best of them? And they played great in game one. They win. They had to win without Joel Embiid. That's not easy to do. Young teams usually can't do that during the playoffs. Then Embiid comes back, and that's tricky too, because now you have to work him in. Is he rusty? How much of the offense is he going to need? But they managed that, and they were able to win with Embiid back. And then in game four, they were able to win despite, you know, succumbing to their biggest problem, which has been turnovers all season long. I mean, they nearly set a franchise record in the playoffs for turnovers. They're throwing the ball all over the court, and yet they're still able to win on the road against a pretty solid Miami Heat team. And when you're able to do that, that's when these visions of, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals, the NBA Finals start to come to fruition right now, because a team is so talented at the top with Embiid and Simmons. They both played great basketball here in the playoffs. And when they're able to, you know, check off all these different boxes along the way and show that they're the real deal, you have to get really excited about their prospect. And when I look around the Eastern Conference, I think Philly's played better than anyone in the East. You know, Toronto struggled with Washington in games 3 and 4. Cleveland has been really up and down, inconsistent. You know, they're leaning so heavily on LeBron. He's playing like 45, 46 minutes a night. And no one else really in that conference has played well. So, to me, you almost have to say the Sixers are the favorite to come out of that conference right now, which is a crazy thing and not something I would have said 2 weeks ago.
Right, and which is why Joel Embiid is saying things like, I think this might be our time. Go back to LeBron, Ben, for a minute. He's averaging 33, 12, and 8 in the series, but at the same time, he's already talking about energy conservation. How concerning is that if you're Cleveland and you're hearing him say that in the first round?
Oh, absolutely concerning. I mean, it's one thing if he says that in games 3 or 4 of the finals because he's got Andre Iguodala and Draymond draped all over him and, you know, he's trying to put together triple-doubles and win a title. I mean, that's one thing. I mean, this is the Indiana Pacers in the first round. And no disrespect to the Pacers because they've been a great story this year. You know, Victor Oladipo, all-star, most improved player. You know, Nate McMillan should be in that Coach of the Year conversation. Total overachievers. But this is not that great of a Pacers team. They're fine. They're not that special. And the fact that LeBron is struggling with them so much in the first round, it's a huge red flag. I mean, frankly, they should be down 3-1. If the Pacers had actually, you know, kept themselves together late in game 4, they would have won that game. They got away from their offense. You know, Nate McMillan lit up his team for hero ball shots. I was glad he did because he was completely right. I mean, these guys are just jacking these shots from, you know, 30 feet. not really running their offense, not passing the ball, and getting away from all the things that made them special this season. So I think LeBron should be, breathing a sigh of relief. You know, there's no question about that. He's in a good position now. I think they get home court back. Their offense, I think, is starting to come along just a little bit, and he's in position to kind of, make the second round. But again, this is not where he's used to be. I mean, the last 5 or 6 years, it's just been sweeps in the first round for LeBron. He's able to kind of catch up and rest. And the fact that he's running his miles up so much early in this postseason, does not bode well for later, especially if he's to make the finals. But even in the Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, imagine a team like Philadelphia. They've got Ben Simmons. They've got Robert Covington. They've got Joel Embiid, all big physical defenders who are going to make you work and take away the easy stuff. If LeBron's, kind of getting tired or he's already saving his energy, what's he going to look like in a month if he has to play against those guys?
Ben Golver joining us. All right, Ben, so the view from 30,000 feet, when you look at the playoffs as a whole and you see the Golden State's not at full strength without Steph Curry, Cleveland's clearly not the same team they were 3 years ago. Do you get the sense that every other team that is either tied or has a lead in their series has to be thinking, we've got a legitimate shot at winning this whole thing?
Yeah, well, I actually think that the Steph Curry injury has been a blessing in disguise. It's weird to say because whenever he goes down, it's panic mode. He's one of the most popular players. But, Steph not being out there and Golden State not really playing their best basketball has allowed all these other stories to kind of flourish. I mean, look at New Orleans. Like, you can talk yourself into the Pelicans, really being an exciting team. They sweep the first round. Maybe they have a shot to, upset Golden State. But, if Steph is out there playing like he did in 2016, I think people would say, oh, okay, New Orleans, that's a cute story, but we're not really buying into you. Same thing with Philly. I mean, they're so young. If the threat of, Steph Curry and the Warriors, 73-win type season is looming over them, I'm not sure people would get as excited about what they've done. So I do think it's been a little bit of a blessing in disguise. But that being said, the Warriors panic, there's some people who are pushing back. They lose to San Antonio. Maybe they're still not playing that well. I think they've really turned it up in the playoffs. I've been impressed. Their defensive energy, especially at home early in that series against the Spurs, was excellent. They were taking away a lot of what San Antonio wanted to do. I think they're going to be able to close that series in 5 games and get on to the second round. So I think they're in pretty good position. Steph, it sounds like, is getting closer to a return to the court. And I think once he's back, as long as he's healthy, it's going to feel a little bit more familiar like previous seasons where, Golden State is sort of the team where the entire league sort of revolves around what they're doing because they're just that good when they're playing their best basketball.
All right, now, Ben, you know this show. You have written about this show. In fact, you wrote the definitive piece about the Smack-Off this past summer. Would you read a book about Ira Craig written by Ira Craig?
Jim, I would, and I want his agent, too. He's trying to get $25,000 for this book. I mean, he's getting great advice. He's setting his price high. I love it. So maybe he and I can discuss literary agents after the show sometime once he cashes in with that GoFundMe.
I love it. Ben Golver, my guest. He's a jungle legend. He's the host of the Open Floor podcast, and he covers the NBA for SI.com. Appreciate you very much, Ben. Thank you.
All right. Talk soon, Jim.
You got it, Ben. Great job. He's covering a lot of ground quickly, too. That's Ben Golver.